So did you feel there was a bit of a separation between, say, the lesbians within the feminist movement and the lesbians who were involved in the bar scene, or was, did you go to the bars?
Yes, we did go to the bars, but yes, there was a bit of a separation, but kind of in a, looking back on it now, I mean, it was really, I don't know, perhaps the women who were in the bars, a lot of them was sort of in butch femme kind of roles and so on there. I'm sure we appeared as ridiculous to them because we were young and full of ourselves, you know, how you are when you're 20 or something and you think you know everything, and we were sort of trying to educate them, we thought, about how they shouldn't be, you know, mimicking heterosexual roles because, you know, how wrong that all was. But you know, but of course a lot of them weren't mimicking any role, they just had, they just wanted to, they liked dressing a bit butchily and didn't, and they were a bit more feminine, or you know, and so I think we probably appeared irritating and arrogant and naive to them, but we were pretty sure that they needed the benefit of our political wisdom, you know. So we did go, go because well, we went to two kinds of things. We went to the bars that were there to go to, and they were places like the Grand Hotel at Central, where they would have lesbian drag shows, which we looked on with some disdain. But, you know, retrospectively, I wish you could go to them now, because they were great, you know.
So how would they, what did they do?
Well, they had, there would be... there would be a kind of, there was one woman who was an entertainer there, and who was kind of key to it. Her name was Yogi Bear, and she was kind of known around Sydney, and I don't know, I have no idea what her real name was, but that was the name that she was, and you know, people would recognise her by. And she would do a kind of, she would wear a sort of sequined or shimmery kind of vest, and you know, look quite butch, you know, and she would do similar to what, you know, the same, just a sort of reversal, doing the kind of Elvis type of songs, or, you know, the kind of Cliff Richard or whomever the kind of male hits of the time were. That's what she would be doing. And there would be other people would get up. It was all mime, of course. Yeah. So it was kind of like, I mean, she was a bit of an entertainer, but some of the people that would get up and do it, they weren't much good at all. But it was like a bit of a sort of karaoke without the words. Yeah. And they would just mime it to the, the records, you know. And it was a kind of pretty dingy sort of bar, but, you know, that there. And the Cricketers Arms, the place in Surrey Hills, we used to go to somewhere. Yeah. And they'd all be kind of very squashy and filled up, and, you know, but there's a lot of different, they'd sort of come and go a bit, you know. So we went to the bars, but what we also did was, at that time in the early and mid-70s, there was an awful lot of women's dances, and that was women with a I and a double M, I N. And they would be at places like Balmain Town Hall, and a lot of, well, I mean, heterosexual and lesbians would go to them, but a lot of the women going to them were lesbians because of the appeal of going to women-only things. And they were totally different to the bars, because there we were trying to enact our kind of ideology of, you know, there was certain, that kind of not kind of sort of anti-fashion and not marking femininity at all, you know, and the idea that women should not be objectified was very strong, but it really, and also people would always be, everyone would take their tops off and be dancing without their tops on. Which I, you know, I don't think of now, but you know, that kind of thing, people were dancing around in big circles, and they'd have women's bands, and that was when women, you started to get sort of some Australian women.